KJ Show, WEEI, an extended version. We'll take you all the way up to Red Sox pregame with Joe Weil here, getting the Sunday lunch brunch, going for the sweep for the Red Sox. And so look, 3 days ago, you're kind of ready to just absolutely lay into Craig Breslow at the trade deadline and things that did not happen. But this, I will do that in this show by this app before this hour's over. But you have to give this team its flowers. And this all goes back to Alex Cora. Whatever you think of Cora as a manager, what he doesn't do, and what it, you now have proof and evidence that he gets his team ready when there's adversity going on upstairs. When there's things where the fans and where people are trying to figure out, like, is management really committed to this team winning long term? He has them ready. If you had on your bingo card going into the Sunday 11:30 game, on Thursday 6:30 in the afternoon, think about where your mind was about this team and what the pundits were saying. And I think I can't remember the guy's name, one of the pundits for Major League Baseball saying that, look, I think it might have been Buster
Rosenthal and Nightingale.
Yeah, Rosenthal. That's right. He was saying, like, look, the Red Sox are they're not really good to deal with when it comes to negotiations. And you're hearing all these things. Did you have on your bingo card that with Houston coming to town, that the Red Sox have an opportunity to sweep the series? I did not. I was one of those thinking, like, they've got to get one. If they get two, that'd be really good. But to say that they can go for three, that's Alex Cora. That's not upstairs. That's Alex Cora. And at this point, because it's the same thing that happened in 2021, right, is help. We need it. We're over indexing what our talent on paper says. I think this is even worse than the 2021 season, right? Because you get rid of your star player, and San Francisco, while they're having their malaise, I mean, I think don't be surprised if Rafi suddenly shows up towards the end. I think that's why they got him. But you get rid of your star player. You get nothing, and you don't really get anything in return, right? Jordan Hicks looks really great stat-wise, but in terms of location, you're like, if this guy could put it together, then you would feel like, okay, you got something out of it. But really, you did not get the same bang for the bucks that you saved. And then the team goes on a run. We'll get into 27 games at a time next hour because we're at 100, I think at 111 now. So we're three games off. Like, look, KJ's not here on Tuesday to do this for you. So we'll get to 27 games at a time in our next hour. Jacob Lassner, man, how you doing? Busy Sunday already, huh?
I'm doing fantastic, KJ. I'm happy about the Red Sox. I love the Red Sox so much, man, honestly.
You know what's funny about Major League Baseball and how you have these different conversations in different places? I had a conversation with a mentor of mine. He's like, it's just tough for me to get into baseball like I used to. And he grew up in Los Angeles. I said, you have to have a town that cares about baseball and a team that gives you this everyday drama. Like you love the Cubs, right? But really the Cubs are about, you know, how big did the beer snake cups get in the last? Like, that's their level, really, of, like, depth when it comes to, like, the Cubs. It's like, dude, did you see the guy that drank 18 beers and walked a straight line up? That's Cubs conversation. Here, it's kind of like, man, did you see Richard Fitz's fingernail the other day on the television? Man, that guy that's definitely 30, at least 60 days. These are the intricacies that make the Red Sox so fascinating and baseball fascinating. And in fairness, right, when Rob Bradford does a show called Baseball Isn't Boring, it hits upon deaf ears in Boston or New York, but play it in Pittsburgh or Cleveland or Cincinnati, you know, it's a bit of a lesson. And this is what's so fun about this Red Sox team is it feels like you're constantly putting money on the roulette wheel. If for those who gamble, for those who don't or anymore, like, I'm sorry, I'm using it. But it's that adrenaline rush that here on Thursday, everybody's ready for the pitchforks, the song, that the parody song that's coming in 40 minutes will show what you felt like on Thursday. And here it is Sunday morning. You cannot wait for 11:35 to get here. Just because you're like, if you sweep Houston, then you forget about, like, how you almost blew an entire series to the Phillies, or all you almost blew an entire series to I forgot at this point who was the other National League team they had struggled with. When it was the Phillies and I can't remember the other one right before, because it's Because so many things are happening since then, right? Like, it's now like a, like, okay, before the trade deadline, after the trade deadline. And so, yeah, you know, you get, you saw Mats yesterday, and you got what you got him for. I think, is May pitching today? I think May's pitching today.
He is not.
He's not pitching today. Isn't he scheduled in the rotation for the start of, into the next series?
I'm pretty sure, but he is on the roster.
Yeah, he's now on the roster wearing 85. We just saw him last Sunday, which that's just super weird. You saw him last Sunday pitching in the Dodgers matchup. And there's a part of us who are like, okay, when we were in Minnesota, they didn't pitch Joe Ryan. You're like, okay, can there be something that could happen there? And here's where I'm going to defend Breslow a little bit. Just a little bit. Think of the pieces that you had in front of you and think of the pieces that the fan base wanted. So if the narrative is true, as it said, just the same way that $600 million was ready for Juan Soto, I'm just saying, is you know you can't move Yoshida. And Trevor's Story has been more than capable, right? Like, if this was Trevor's Story every time each season he's been here and didn't get injured, I mean, Trevor Story is an all-star, right? So, like, going into the season, you felt like, all right, Yoshida and Story are pieces we feel like we could move. Come the trade deadline, they're valuable pieces. They would be able to get us back a haul either in prospects or get us a high-quality rental for 1 or 2 years. Okay, you've had Yoshida is a non-negotiating starter. So when you hear, hey, you won't give up one of your outfielders, Breslow was not saying, well, no, I can't give you Yoshida. Like, I just don't believe that. Because do you really even count Yoshida as one of the outfielders? Do you, Joe? I mean, Jacob?
No.
No, right. So when you hear you couldn't give up one of your outfielders, where Roman Anthony, that's a clear no, right? Because if Roman Anthony just had a okay look, let's just say his look was starting to form a bit like what happened with Christian Campbell, right? Like, well, Christian Campbell started off hot and got slow. So let's say it went slow, picked up for Roman Anthony, and then started to slow down, say, 10 to 15 days ago. Roman Anthony might have been a consideration. Completely off the table. You're like, well, what about Abreu? Like, you're just going to give up a Gold Glover who has pop in a lineup where your main piece of pop is gone? No. Duran, I thought that was absolute silliness, to be honest with you. I was like, what? How are you going to, if this guy puts, if he puts two and two together, you do know this is going to be one of the faces Major League Baseball is going to be putting out there. You know what the highlight's going to be? Duran going around second. Oh my God, he's going to have a stand-up triple. And the ball's just getting to the outfielder. Like, you don't get rid of speed where a guy could be standing on third with no outs. That's a run or a fired manager if that run doesn't come in. So, no, Duran wasn't in the mix. Rafaela, are you kidding? The only outfielder you really could part with was Yoshida, and that's not even a that's not even a talking point at this point. The team is kind of handcuffed by that. And for that, I'll give Breslow a little breathing room about why he couldn't fully negotiate, because again, going into the season, you're like, okay, what does it look like at the trade deadline if there are problems, one, or if there's a success and we need to move pieces? You would say, okay, we would hope Yoshida would be able to show who he is. We need to get off of that contract. We're overloaded with outfielders. We've got outfielders where we can control all their money. And at the end of the day, why do we need a guy who's just a DH in his playing years, right? Like I said this about Devers. Like, Devers is too young to be a DH at this point in his career for the rest of his career. You do that once the glove has completely disappeared. Now, has Devers' glove 85% and is almost invisible? Yes, but still young enough to get out there and say, all right, you stick him at first. That's why he's playing first out there. Then you would say, okay, maybe. So the next tier of people you probably have the conversations about would be maybe Toro and Gonzalez, right? And then you would say, okay, but you would have to put together a bunch of prospects that I don't know if other teams would go, Sure, you could have Joe Ryan for, say, Gonzalez and some prospects. Not sure about that. The only one that I thought maybe could have happened where you wouldn't have to give up one of your rostered players might have been Dylan Cease as the day went on. Right, Jacob? Like, it was one of those situations where, okay, Dylan Cease isn't moving, and now there's hints that he can go for just prospects. Then you might say, all right, maybe the Red Sox look at a couple of these prospects. Will you take Vaughn Grissom, please, as well? You know, to get Cease.
So what we were talking about yesterday on the Baseball Isn't Boring show was that the Red Sox kind of zeroed in on one player, and it kind of threw off the rest of their trade deadline, and they had to just scramble and make a move at the last second.
So that's an issue right there, right? Because you have to be flexible in these things. Again, if you zeroed in on one player, then it means you had zeroed in on particular players for the Red Sox. And if both those don't match up, then you can't make a deal. You cannot continue to operate that way. Like, if Christian Campbell's name was coming up, I would listen. Just because you're like, all right, is he really your first baseman of the future? Or do you go and get like another first baseman if it means that you can get another starting pitcher? Because here's my concern. Yeah, here's what's crazy so far. The toughest part of the Red Sox schedule for this season, it's already happened. It just happened in the last segment. But in terms of what's coming down the pike, not as good, but most of your key players haven't played baseball into this depth of water, right? Imagine we're in a swimming pool, right? Everybody can compete in the 3 feet. This is where all your Sedanes, Rafaelas, and your Roman Anthonys, they can all kind of dwell. Right now, we're at the 6 foot mark in the pool. This is a 15 foot pool. Jacob, are you a swimmer?
No, I know how to swim, but I'm not a swimmer.
Okay, I'm not saying like can you do all four types of swim? It's not. I'm not asking you can you do the 4x freestyles. You know,
my fault. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Right. So, right at the 6 foot mark in the pool, sometimes some pools have a steep drop off where it goes from 6 to 9. Okay. Right at the 9 feet area, this is where I'm concerned, or where we're seeing some of this. Richard Fitz is on the 60-day DL. What are you going to get from Rafaela, even though he's gotten hot again? These guys haven't been in that 9, 12, and then ultimately the 15-foot portion of the pool. There's only one player on this roster who's been that far. Alex Bregman. He's the only one that's been in the deepest part of this pool. And so if you're asking this team to be carried by Bregman both on the field, which he's historically done, and emotionally, I think that's a lot. And you're potentially trying to negotiate with him. Kind of a smart play by Breslow, but kind of a dangerous play because I'm not concerned about the Red Sox playing Houston. If they show face against them, they've shown that they've been okay against some of the better teams. But what happens if you split a series with Pittsburgh? Or what happens if the A's win two? These are the problem games, and it's not because you can't beat these teams. It's because a lot of the players in the 3 foot area of the pool haven't been 6 feet and beyond. 617-779-7937. KJ Show, WEEI, John in the car. John talking Sox. Thanks so much, and good morning to you, bro.
You know, it doesn't matter how deep the pool is, KJ, because once you're over your head, you're over your head.
That's
true.
It
can be 6 feet or 600 feet. It doesn't matter. So, and my kid's a swimmer, actually. She 2 hours a day, and, you know, believe me, I drown watching her swim. So, but the mindset is, you know, the water level, once you're over your head, it doesn't matter. To me, the answer is simple. This team, as usual, got pushed around come negotiation time by teams that are looking to get rid of all their talent. Minnesota got rid of half of their team and a ridiculous amount of their payroll. You could have gotten Joe Ryan for no major league talent. You could have opened up, from what I've been told a million times over, the best minor league portfolio in professional baseball and said, who do you want? We want your guy. And they didn't do it.
So, John, now, let me play devil's advocate for you real quick, because I normally almost never interrupt anybody when they call. So nobody got Joe Ryan. So nobody got Joe Ryan. So is there a belief that probably either Minnesota said it's the one piece we're holding on to, or you need to show us a piece just as big as Joe Ryan? So let's just say they put up Duran. If they offer Duran, Joe Ryan is here. But do you think Duran should be the one that should have gone for Joe Ryan?
Well, I'll be consistent. I have said Duran's the guy that's got to go because two reasons. Number one, his age. Number two, he's taking Rafaela out of a place where he's much better than, which is center field. To me, Sedan Rafaela is the best defensive baseball player in the pros. That includes Ellie De La Cruz. My problem is this. I don't want to hear Theo Epstein's name ever again. Theo Epstein has nothing to do with the Red Sox. He is part of Fenway Sports Group. And everybody that tells me Theo's in the background pulling the strings is full of crap. Because if this was Theo circa 2005, 2004, whatever, the deal would have been done. And this team constantly gets pushed around because they make sure they put somebody in the place that has either not the wherewithal to do the job or doesn't have the ability to do the job because the team doesn't want to spend the money, which is really what it's about. So as far as I'm concerned, this team does not deserve the effort that the team, that the field manager and the baseball team is putting forward, because they left them dangling in the breeze with next to nothing for help with the trade deadline when a wide-open American League is there for the taking, and it's a shame. They all should be flogged in the square, as far as I'm concerned. I am back to having it with the Red Sox management. I couldn't stand Larry Lucchino. That bastard drove me crazy. But there is no way this guy would have let this happen come trade deadline. Joe Ryan would have never left Minnesota unless he was on a plane to Boston.
John, thank you so much for the car, and good luck with your endeavors today. I won't reveal what you're up to. Jacob, he's actually on his way to ump a baseball game. You think that ball that's going to be 3 inches off of the plate? Strike!
Big strike zone for John today.
Big strike zone for John today. He's had it up to here, and literally that ball is going to be up to here. Did you ever think of that? Do you ever want a fired up ump coming in? Have you ever umpired a baseball game, John? Jacob?
I have not, but
okay,
I've seen a fired up ump. The one that like stared down Juan Soto after punching him out a few days back. That was crazy.
Oh, I'm talking about it like the kid level, right? Like, because I played baseball extensively as a kid, nowhere at the level of, say, a Lou Maloney, but still enough to say, hey, you're good. You understand balls and strikes because you hit them very well. Can you up a game? So I never forget. I'm like in maybe eighth or ninth grade, and I'm umping a game of like maybe fifth, sixth graders, right? And a kid just throws an absolutely wicked curveball. And for those who are parents who have kids, they really encourage you not to throw curveballs to mess up your, because they mess up your elbow if you throw. But I mean, this kid threw just such a nasty 12-6 that I was fascinated. I was just like, ball. What are you doing up? So 617-779-7937. KJ Show continues next with 27 games at a time. Episode 4, I predicted it was all going to be on Breslow. You just heard John's thoughts, fired up about the team. We'll go through it and what it looks like, plus more of your calls and texts, 617-779-7937. Let's go ahead and trend with Jacob Lassner. The KJ Show, a out-of-body experience during an out-of-body time. A time of sports, entertainment, and vaudeville. 617-779-7937. That is the number and the text line. We're about 15 minutes away from the latest parody song about Craig Breslow's handling of the trade deadline. Just something absolutely out of this world. Sucky. Yeah. Tom Carroll joins us next hour. We'll get into Patriots camp. Then, of course, we celebrate the week of greatness. I mean, for those of you who woke up today, they said, yes, today is Tom Brady's birthday. We'll understand that July 31st through August 6th may be the greatest week of birthdays in the history of the world. And I've got proof for it. not because my birthday was 2 days ago, but because the whole week is great. Phil and Stoughton. Phil, thanks so much for calling the KJ Show. Good Sunday to you. You're on the air.
Hey, KJ, how you doing?
Great, thanks, man.
Stumbled upon your show about 5 or 6 months ago. It's very enjoyable. So
thank you. Thank
kudos.
You.
Nice work.
Tell Ken Laird that you stumbled upon it. He paid me more. And I'm kidding.
Well, it's funny you mention that. I ended up having Friday off. Now I'm up here in Winnipesaukee, but I had Friday off, and I shot down to Pier 52 for the live broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And when Breslow was calling into the show, all 85 or 100 people, it was just a very loud boo. You could tell he did not want to be on that call. rightfully so. But then again, they're 7-3 in the last 10. The competition might be a little bit subpar, but I'm hoping they can figure out how to make this happen with the ingredients they have. I'm not overly confident, but it's a conundrum. You get Duran, you're talking about speed, but then you have Rafaela. There's some pieces here that, with a little bit more experience, they may surprise us in the next month or two.
That's your hope, right? I can hear the prayer voice in your voice, Phil. Thank you so much for checking out the KJ Show. Have a wonderful Sunday. Yeah, thank you. And for anybody who's just joining into this KJ Show thing, thank you so much for being here. And of course, if you missed any of it, the Odyssey app is free. Just type in AUDACY and then put in WEEI and you can listen backwards, forward. Well, you can't listen to forward. If you can listen to the show in the future, you'd probably cut it off immediately. You're going to be like, you know what? I hear what this guy's about to talk about. I'm cutting it off. So you can play it backwards. You can rewind. You can listen live as well. The iHeart app, you can listen to the station as well. You just cannot rewind. So Odyssey app, AUDACY, with the rewind feature, type in WEEI, and then at iHeart Radio, type in WEEI to listen here as well. Yeah, I understand where Phil's coming from because the hope is there, right? Like I think that's what Red Sox fans are really hope eternal, right? The disappointment, we're going to let you know right away how you should have done better about something, but I still love you, right? Like, it's why in New England, like, you see people who've been, they've been married for 70 years. You're like, how old are they? You know, but because there's the dedication, right? And it's same thing with the Red Sox. There has always been this love. I don't care how many people say they're just going to turn their backs on the Red Sox. This isn't 1966 where you've got 7,000 average people in the stands. No, plus, you know, you're getting into the summer of love. People are figuring out some things. You're like, really? I can take a pill and not, oh, wow, Red Sox game or this? Hey, let's go over there. So, no, there's not going to be this massive turn. Even though, yes, and I would say to Breslow, is like, hey, don't be scared. You know, don't be scared. You know, don't be scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. They just fans. But, yeah, all those people booing him at the Greg Hill Flex Friday show. Yeah, that was built up over, what, like 12 hours? In 12 hours, you had people feeling that way. And I think because, A, we're such a knowledgeable fan base, B, some of the nerds talk a little louder, and then C, and this is kind of the issue that I understand, but I have, is we have to sometimes be realistic about what you have to offer and what it is that you want. You see this all the time, right? You see, and sometimes I think people are doing it just for clicks, but they're like, oh, yeah, George Niang and Peyton Pritchard for Kevin Durant and Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. You seen these, Jacob? You know, where people are like, oh, yeah, we're going to put together these absolutely unheard of trades.
I don't know.
Yeah, these unheard of trades that something like, again, like I said in the first break, is I think the idea was Yoshida was going to be the piece moved. Even Alex Cora had kind of hinted at that. That he had wondered, you know, how Yoshida would be after he went on the 60-day and the talk of potentially, you know, getting moved, even though Alex Cora didn't say, yeah, they were going to trade him. It was kind of like, you can hear it between the lines. You know, I think if anything, Breslow probably now knows you have to be flexible, yet not reactionary. So I know some people think that Durant should be the guy that should have gone, but I would say, yeah, what happens when you can't replace what he does? And what he does is very rare in the game. 617-779-7937. We are now past the, we're now at episode four of
27 at a time.
Yeah. Games at a time.
27 at a time. Games at a time. 27 at a time. Games at a time. 27 at a time. Games at a time. 27 at a time. All that you need to know. Uh-huh. If the socks are stinking, KJ hooks you up. And then you get to thinking 27 at a time. Games at a time. 27 at a time.
All right, before we get into episode four of 27 games at a time, which is if you really break down the season by 27 games at a time, you'll get six episodes. Six times 27, kids, is 162. Wow, look at that math on the KJ show. Episode one, the team was 14-13 during that clip. They were two games out of first. Look, you know, Abreu was onto a hot start. Crochet was on fire. The middle relief was terrible. Cass is in this huge slump. Episode two, the team went 13-14 in that episode. They were two games short of the desired total, which is 15-12. That's what you want to go. They finished at the 54 game mark at 27-27. They were three games off of a 90 win total. Abreu had cooled off. Tanner Houck started really showing that. It was like, oh, no, this guy is not getting it. Base running errors. Campbell's struggles were going on. Trevor Story was leading the major leagues in strikeouts. Then you get to episode three, and you're like, all right, they're okay. They're 13-10. It ends. Episode two ended with Bregman going down with the quad. Campbell's struggles continue. Rafi was on fire. And then Roman Anthony calls for him to come up for Worcester got really loud. They sweep the Yankees, who were the hottest team, and then next thing you know, Rafi's trading. Rafi's gone. So here we are in episode four, where the team has gone 57. They're at 57-51 at 108 games. They went 17-10 in that clip, which is the most ideal you can go. And this picks up at game 89. But it had some people baffled because Sam Kennedy on the Greg Hill show making some comments about the Sox going to the White House.
Things can change fast. Alex Cora was joking last night with Jason Veritek pregame about the date we're going to the White House next year. So, you know, there is no lack of confidence in that clubhouse, I can tell you. And that's why I love this group. We feel very, very confident. But at the same time, I think it's fair for all of us to be frustrated by where we are.
Yeah, we're like at the time like... This team, you said, is going to the World Series? But then, after the White House visit, the Red Sox sweep the Nationals.
Two down, bottom nine, 6-4 Red Sox. Tying run at the plate. Pitch is a high fly into left field. Duran, though, has room. Backing up to his left. He's there to make the play, and the ball game is over. The Red Sox come to D.C., and they sweep the Nationals.
Okay, you're like, all right, it's the Nationals. They're horrible. Maybe you're there looking at some players there. And then you're like, okay, well, Colorado comes to town. And what do you know? Bayo gets the complete game.
One ball, two strikes, two down in the ninth. 10-2 Red Sox. From the letters, Bayo pitches. And a swing and a miss. He got him. Held on to by Wong. And with his 10th strikeout, Bayo pitches a complete game.
Yes! Yes!
So now you got the Sox sweeping the Nationals, sweeping Colorado. Then here comes Crochet with the last game against Toronto. I mean, against Tampa.
26 years young. Second year as a starter. One out away from his first complete. First pitch is swung on and flared into right and hangs up. It's caught by Abreu. And for the first time in his career, Garrett Crochet has thrown a complete game.
Whoa. Oh, my. The team is on fire. They've won 10 in a row. And so now going into the All-Star break, Joe, we'll skip one. Going into the All-Star break, we're looking at a situation where you're like, okay, who are potential pieces that can be targeted? And so at number six, here's Joe Ryan talking with Brad Foe at the All-Star Game.
You're weird getting used to
the trade stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fun for me. I mean, July is awesome. I think everyone in the clubhouse gets excited just seeing where guys are going to go around the league. And you don't know. And I think that's exciting. And being someone that could get traded, it would be exciting. I mean, I do love Minnesota, and I love where I'm at. So it would be sad, definitely hard to go. But at the end of the day, it's never up to me. And
So credit Brad Foe, right? Because targeted, I would say, would be the word. To have the conversation with Joe Ryan, you heard the reports. It's just kind of like some of the Red Sox guys trying to kind of hang with Joe Ryan there, kind of get to know him. I don't want to say soft recruitment, but that's kind of what it is. And so there's where the Joe Ryan narrative really starts when Brad Foe talks to him at the All-Star game. Because you're like, well, look, here's Joe Ryan talking to a Boston guy. So clearly there could be and should be something there, right? So coming back from the All-Star break, you're like, look, the Sox is just an unbelievable run. You hate that they actually had to stop playing with a 10-game win streak. Then they get to Chicago, and Bayo throws a first pitch.
He's reemerging, a high drive into left field. Back on it goes Refsnyder. It's at the wall, and it is gone.
Damn. Yeah, so the Red Sox don't look very pretty against Chicago. They just barely save themselves and scrounge up the last game in that series to avoid the sweep. They avoid the sweep against the Phillies in that very last game. And then the Dodgers come to town, but ironically and unfortunately, Mookie is not there for the first game because the death of his stepfather. But he showed up for the second game.
A night that began with enormous anticipation and fanfare is coming to a climax right here. 3-2. Chapman throws. And a fastball called strike three. Ball game over. Chapman stares into the Dodgers' third base dugout. And the Red Sox level the series with a thrilling 4-2 win.
So that gives the opportunity of the Red Sox to not only take the series from the Dodgers, which they do, but now the conversation is, all right, these guys definitely should be in the running for something top line in terms of the trade deadline, and it doesn't happen. I said episode 4 was all going to be about Breslow. And with all this stuff that was happening, all these things that were taking off, all these things that the team did, nothing. So in episode 4, the combined winning percentage of the teams, games 81 through 108, 552. In episode 5, that's still to come. I don't know who it's going to be. I think it's really going to be on Bregman. I think when you have this conversation about getting some of these players from the shallow end to the deeper end, it has to be led by Bregman. The winning percentage for the teams they're facing during this clip, the next 27 games, 517. And in the last clip in episode 6, which would be the final 27 games, 496. So if this is the reason why those numbers I gave you, winning percentages, if this is the reason why that Breslow felt like I don't have to overspend to get this team to the playoffs, it's a playoff team. I'm not thinking about can this team get to the playoffs. I'm thinking, can this team not only get to the playoffs, but capture the heart of America with young guys and a couple of horses at the top of the rotation to make a run at least to the ALCS. That's the way I think. Now, if you're thinking this pitching would be good enough to get us to the playoffs, you don't know what happens after this. All that hope about Cassis, we don't even know what Cassis is going to be. You have to catch the lightning in the bottle while it's there. And the disappointing for me is this. You need a number two. I think Bayo would be a great number three. If you had Crochet, a better number two, Bayo at three, and Giolito as your four, then I would say that may be one of your bet. That could be the best pitching staff going into the playoffs, at least in the American League. You know, but I will celebrate today. You've passed the Yankees, right? Like, so the Yankees are now behind you. You're only like a handful of games behind Toronto, But if you're four down to Toronto or three down to Toronto, you get to that Toronto series in a four-game series. You're like, if I can have horses one, two, three going in that series, there's a chance we can go ahead and take the series. Like, this is why the number two is needed. 617-779-7937. Minutes away from the Breslow parody regarding the trade deadline. Let's go to Paul in Westfield talking Breslow and the Sox. Paul, good morning, and thank you for being part of the KJ show here on WEEI.
Thanks, KJ. Thanks for bringing me in. It's our collective mind that really does make us better. And you bring up some key points, and here's a quick comment and then a simple way to express it. When everyone else is after those players, there's other things going on behind the scenes that we can't have and have knowledge of. A lot of it's called, private and trade right, and giving up information that you don't want the competition to know. For example, you don't want to seem too excited at the auction because you'll get outbid. And when Breslow brought in this team that is now performing up to its expectations because they're not all injured and the pitching is figuring out the problems and the younger players are listening to the older players, that's Breslow who brought them in. And here's the ending point. I was a car shark at the auction before my whole career policy where I just can't get anything done. And I'm at the auction and I know I got a perfect one owner mint car. And you see the guy with the cute girl and she's bouncing up and down and foaming at the mouth. You're not getting that car because he wants to get the girl. Those kind of things happen behind the scenes that we're not fully aware of. And in closing, you have to criticize and be concerned because if we can do better, we will, because problems are just room for improvement. But I think we've improved a lot. It is a young team. We beat the world champions 2 out of 3. We might sweep number one first place team Houston. This doesn't suck. This is nice what we're doing.
Paul, always great to hear from you. Thanks so much for the call. Yeah, I think just the flexibility of it, right, is even when you go back to, you remember during the offseason when there was the eyes on who's the left-hander? I just can't think of him right now. It is 8 in the morning that they missed out on. Do you remember Jacob? Oh, gosh, the pitcher.
Of course.
Yeah, so you have to have that flexibility. You didn't have the flexibility in the offseason when you're trying to go after arms. And now here you might not have had the flexibility if you had your eye just on one particular player and they were gone. Or it could have been Joe Ryan and the Twins just said you didn't have enough, right? Because you are there in Minnesota. And if I was taking shots, it's like, let's look at the visiting suite. Oh, Breslow's not in there. I'd be in the Breslow. I would have photos. Breslow's in the general manager suite of the Twins. Take pictures. Many. I'm over here talking, folks, But if you can't offer up what they want, remember, you want what they have. And if you don't have enough to get what they have, I can't be mad at that. However, what was the flexibility policy? Was there flexibility policy saying, if I can't get a number two starter, can I go get a first baseman? That's why when Josh Naylor went off the board immediately to Seattle, I went, huh? But that could be because you're so honed in on getting that one thing. Yeah, the power of the mind is a powerful thing, but so is another mind. So, Jacob, we do have a sponsor or two for 27 days games at a time.
Oh, let's hear it.
You ready for it? Here we go.
27 Games at a Time is brought to you by Balls and Strikes Martial Arts Center. Learn to hit above average and below the belt at the same time. And by Cannabis Catcher. When you don't follow the laws, we follow your high electric bill. Cannabis Catchers, you won't walk if you're facing a full count. More of the KJ Show next.
Okay, so we probably need better sponsors here on this KJ Show. 617-779-3500, 9 a.m., call the business office, say, the KJ Show needs better sponsors. Let's see, BBLs Unlimited is one of them, Cannabis Catchers, Balls and Strikes, Martial Arts Centers. Come on, man. Next, the Craig Breslow parody song about the trade deadline here on the KJ Show. Thanks for hanging out, WEEI. Yeah.
Great song.
This is one of my 14-year-old daughter's favorite albums. Like, when I put it on, she runs to the room. I got to give my daughter a shout-out. For those who know a little bit about me, I have a daughter who has cerebral palsy. She's 14 now. When she was seven or eight, it's been a few years ago, in one night here, we broke the New England record for one night in fundraising, $362,000 for the March of Dimes. And she was an absolute charmer. But she is such a huge music lover. So her summer has been getting things done with her legs. And at one point, she was in double casts. Double casts. And was supposed to have those on for like 4 weeks and was got out of them in three. Like, just that determination. So anytime I hear an Eagles song, I think, like, how neat my 14-year-old kid is. And now, keep in mind, her dad taught her about listening to the Eagles. It's not something she hears at school. So, but it just shout out to Sarah, man. So both of the casts are off. She's got to wear now this leg thing, like, for like 8 hours a day that straightens her leg because she had Botox in the legs. And so what it does is loosen up the muscles, because there's a thing called hypertonia. For kids who have cerebral palsy, where their muscles are really tight, it can happen. And so she's been sleeping with this brace like a champ and everything. So I celebrated my birthday with her. We both had a daiquiri there, but it was a virgin daiquiri. So it was just, I told, please make sure it's a virgin daiquiri. It's a 14-year-old sitting next to me. I don't want to suddenly go to jail and be in trouble. So we've been talking Red Sox here. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the text line. Jacob, what you got?
I have a text on Christian Campbell asking if he's going to play second base when he gets returned to the majors, or first base.
Yeah, see, so that's the thing about, if Romy Gonzalez and Toro give you an excellent first base, then why would you sit those guys when Campbell is a right-handed hitter as well, right? If Campbell was a left-handed hitter and they've transferred him to first base, then that's a different conversation, because now you say, okay, we've got a platoon situation going on. I think Campbell comes back up and plays second base until the Meyer wrist injury is fully understood. And keep in mind, Meyer's been getting burned on the inside stuff at the wrist. So what do you think the first thing pitchers are going to test when he comes back? They're going to test to see if he can handle the inside stuff to test that wrist. So I think he comes back in second, because I think you can't play around with not having Rafaela in center field at all, right? Like that, I mean, it's good that you can get him to play some second base, but what happens the day that you have him playing second base, there's a deep shot towards the triangle, and it goes over Duran's head? What's the conversation? Everything Rafaela would have had to add. So I don't think at this point now, especially down the stretch with the AL East pennant in sight, you cannot play around with moving guys around too much. So I think Campbell comes back and plays second. Maybe you move him over to first on day, like what day is that? That if you're moving him over to first and you're taking Gonzalez out of the lineup? Because at this point you'd say Gonzalez still probably hits the right-handed pitching better than Campbell was hitting the pitching, you know, before he left. So a couple more texts and then we'll get into the Breslow parody song.
The Red Sox did nothing at the trade deadline. This team isn't serious and never will be.
Yeah, if you missed it, I was just talking about what are the winning percentages of the teams coming down the pike, and you're like, okay, Jay, how did you do your math? You know, the little bit nerd stuff, right?
Bunch of damn nerds.
Yeah. So all I did was take the winning percentage of each team that they played, and if they played a team twice, that percentage gets added in again, and then gets equally divided. So, you know, if you've got I think it's 446 or something like that, you know, for the last 27 games of the season, maybe you don't overspend, maybe you don't overdo it, maybe you don't try and overextend yourself and believe that what you have can get it done. I would have done more, but that's me. One more text and then we'll get to the parody.
We have a text about Breslow, 781. Breslow is overwhelmed in his current position.
Yeah, I guess that's where people were wondering with, you know, what is Theo Epstein's role behind the scenes? Like, you know, like, obviously he's not going to get in the way and say, I'm going to override a deal, or I'm going to step in and make sure this gets done. Though people are like, Theo, get in there, do something. You know, but he doesn't look overwhelmed if this team makes it into playoffs and makes a run, right? Now, if the team falls apart, and that is my huge concern, is I'm not concerned about how you do against the Yankees. I think you'll compete. You'll do fine. You'll compete against Tampa down the road. What happens if you stumble against Baltimore in those series? What happens if Pittsburgh makes it interesting? These are the game, or Kansas City kind of shows a little face. Like, these are the series that I'm concerned about, where you can, there's room for no quarter, and you have to get it done. That's I have more concern in those areas than I do against some of the better teams. All right, remember, Tom Carroll's coming in here at 9:20. Talk some more camp this week with the Patriots. We got to get into the conversation about Will Campbell. Are those arms too short to even box with a guard, let alone with a defensive lineman? But now I present my latest creation here on the KJ Show. What Breslow did at the trade deadline is something we've seen before. Hit it.
You know, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. We expected this from Heim Bloom, but Craig, not you too.
Sox fans taken to the streets. Deadline moves, they're incomplete.
Yeah!
And the young arms by September will be gone.
Yes!
Ownership certainly spurred us on. We'll be buyers, they were wrong. The excuses come again, and that's the song.
You're rocking it, KJ, you're rocking it.
Add an amendment to the Red Sox Constitution. Fenway Fest will be the next revolution. No big bats are starting pitching for the mound. Dropping my head, we got played. Just like the yesterday. Feeling like a didn't get paid.
Damn!
We just got bloomed again.
Thanks, Craig. Thanks you a lot. Thought you were different.
We just got bloomed again.
Oh yeah, pitching. We're good. We got all this flexibility. We're getting rid of Devers. That's all going to work out. And then when the trade deadline comes around, what happens?
No! We just got bloomed again.
Rock that dish, KJ. Rock that dish.
Yes.
Yeah. Woo.
Brother rocking out here, huh? We just got bloomed again. That's a Heim Bloom move. Just got bloomed again, didn't we?
Yes.
We just got bloomed again. The KJ Show continues next here on WEEI. Good Sunday to you.